now Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.
So, tomorrow night, President Bush will be on television. He will be in the Oval Office. He'll be talking to all of us, and he'll lay the whole program out. You're going to lay out the whole, if you'll pardon the expression, shooting match. And let us know exactly what, not exactly what, he's going to let us know the general outline of what to expect. And I'm just going to repeat what I said last hour, and I mean this, and you don't have to believe me. You can run around like the sky is falling like Chicken Little if you want to, but I believe that we're turning this into a boogeyman scenario. I think we're giving these people a little bit more power than they have. I understand what they did. I'm very mindful of that. But the ability to strike at any time, use biological and chemical weapons. You don't know where they are. They could be under every rock. I think we got to hear ourselves talk, because we're giving these guys, we ain't talking about Spider-Man here, okay? We're talking about guys that had to plan this mass murder in New York was years in the planning. Years in the planning. And they left a trail, and sometimes they screwed up, and they looked stupid. I mean, we got caught with our pants down around our ankles. Let's face it. This wasn't so much a masterful plan as it was with us standing there with our pants down around our ankles. Seriously, it was like the most audacious, unbelievable act you'd ever seen in your life, but so much of what happened because we just were flat-footed, man. We didn't go up for the ball, okay? We stood flat-footed in the key. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, that's a basketball analogy. 1-800-449-8686. Jennifer, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Jennifer?
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
I was calling because your last caller, Vince, basically implied that the youth of today's society were not worthy of having the right to vote, or that we're relying on them to be our backup in this war, and that they are unable to do that. And I'm basically calling because I know a lot of youth that are in the military today, and I also have read of a lot on Sergeant Grit's newsletter, where there are many, many youth.
Whose newsletter?
Sergeant Grit, he is a Marine or former Marine, I'm not really sure, gentleman that puts out a newsletter and has a website. And
that's not Grites, is it?
Sergeant Grit.
Sergeant Grit. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And a lot of Marines, mostly Marines, write into the newsletter or, you know, chat on the website and whatnot. And there are a lot of today's youth that are very willing to fight. I've read about numerous ones that want to quit high school just so they can go fight for our country. And so I just didn't think that Vince's stereotype of today's youth was very fair. He qualified it about the politicians, but not really about the youth.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you called with that point, because we had a Marine captain on the first hour of the show who said, hey, look, you know, and he sort of echoed what I had said yesterday. It's about the officers and the men that are training these guys. They'll do fine if they have the right training and they have the quality officer corps leading them. And fortunately, they do. We have a good leadership in the military.
I agree, and also the motivation, too. You know, if the youths are totally willing to get out there, then any amount of training will be beneficial to them, because they're motivated and they want to do it anyway.
Sergeant Grit's Marine Bulletin Board. Oh, I need a password to get into this stinking thing, Jennifer. You didn't tell me. Otherwise,
I'd like to post... Can you go ahead and sign up and put a username and a password?
She's like, I'm putting full name, email, username, password. I don't know. I don't know if terrorists are tracking this.
I'll do is I'll find out exactly the steps to get on.
No,
signed on before they revamped the website.
It says, welcome, Marines and friends of Marines. The new bulletin board is here. Unfortunately, the wake of the progress, we're starting with a clean board. Please maintain a level of respect for others. Click here for new board. And I clicked, and I've got a whole deal that I got to go through. Well, that's okay. I'll sign up. What's grunt.com, Mike?
That one I'm not really sure, but since Grunt is a Marine term, I'm assuming that it's another place for Marines to go to chat and things of that nature. It may be a link off of Sergeant Grit's website.
You ought to also check out Arlie Ermey's website.
Arlie Ermey?
Oh, yeah, he's out of sight. Now,
okay,
he
how do you spell
is,
that?
okay, R period, R period, Lee, L-E-E.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Ermey, E-R-M-E-Y. And Lee is a Marine, former Marine, you know, a tour and a half of duty in Vietnam. And then he went off to Hollywood with Dale Dye and has been in a few movies. And I don't know if you ever saw Full Metal Jacket.
I did. My father, grandfather, and great-grandfather were all Marines. So.
Yeah, well, if you saw Full Metal Jacket, Lee Ermey is the drill instructor at the beginning of the movie with all those great lines like, "How tall are you? 5'6". I didn't know they stacked crap that high." You know, stuff like
that. Yeah.
That's Lee. And he's a riot and a half, but he's got a very interesting webpage. Check that one out, too.
I definitely will. Right. And I just wanted to say, too, that I totally respected Vince. You know, he's been through a lot, obviously, and he's done a lot for
right,
our country.
Right, but he forgets where he came from.
I felt like I had to point that out because there's so many out there that are willing to die for our country that I didn't want them to be lost in the ignorance of those that aren't.
Yeah, he forgets where he comes from. He had to start out. He was green. He hadn't been in a war. He hadn't been, you know, everybody starts at that place. It's the training, and it's the officers and the men that train these guys that makes all the difference. And I think we have the best. So thank you very much, Jennifer, for that call. Okay.
Thank you, Phil.
Yeah. Bye bye. Yeah, they're professionals. They're professionals. You know, when you talk about like a Mexican cop, you're talking about a Mexican cop. When you talk about an American cop, shouldn't you be talking about a cop that's the best? I think that's what we talk about when we talk about our police. They're pros. Other guys just wear a badge and then they run around. Same thing with American soldier. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Melissa on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi, Melissa.
Hi.
Hi.
I had to call in because, I just was turning the radio station and I heard Andrea. She sounded very stupid.
Oh, you heard her about an hour ago, yeah.
Oh, yeah. She wasn't angry at all and didn't want to... I mean, place blame on anyone, it sounds like. I mean, I was beginning to wonder if she was a Muslim terrorist herself.
Yeah, with a name like Andrea, I'd no doubt.
Yeah, you know.
All those Muslim women, Andrea, Sylvia, Cynthia.
But I just heard that lady also about the Marine, and I'm 25, and I'm on the youth, and a lot of the people I've seen signing up for the military aren't doing it for the country. They're doing it for the money. And, you know, there's so many incentives now, and you got to, you know, realize there hasn't been a war in so long that the young people are thinking, well, you know, we'll go to war because we're not really, you know, we'll go in the Army or the Marines or whatever because we're not going to really go to war. And now when it comes to the crunch time, you know, are we going to be up for it?
A couple of things. A lot of those kids are probably joining maybe the Army. I don't know. I'm not denigrating the Army. The Marine Corps is maybe just a little cut above in terms of the people they get. But the other thing that, to remember, when World War II broke out and a lot of guys ran to the enlistment office, it was done out of patriotism, but it was also a place for a lot of those guys just coming out of a depression, just coming out of the Dust Bowl, coming off of a farm that was nothing but dirt and a dead cow or something. Right. I mean, this was a place for them to go and get three squares a day. The Army needed them. The country needed them. And I mentioned the other day on the air, if you look at photographs of the young enlistees back in 41, these guys look terrible. they're young guys of 23, 24, and they look like they're 40.
Well, these guys are younger, you know, 18 and, you know, to 20.
Yeah.
And also I wanted to make a point, you know, this was a wake-up call for America. We've been butting in everyone's business forever, you know. And, I mean, I'm from Maine, and two of the terrorists came in from Portland, Maine, to go to Boston. And
I know. They were up there in an apartment, weren't they?
Yeah. And if you've seen the security in Maine, you'd understand why they picked this state to go through.
Hey, you know what? I'll tell you something, Melissa. You know, man, it can't be overstated. We got to get out of that part of the world. We got to get out of there while the getting's good, man. And you know what? I mean, I never thought I'd hear myself say these words, but if it means we got to open up some national park for oil drilling, I know people are just horrified, but I'm so sick and tired of having to deal with that part of the world. The only reason why we kiss ass on the Kuwaitis, the only reason is that freaking bloody oil so we can shove it into our big excursion and go off to grandma's house in the summer, you know?
Yep.
And I'm so tired of having to shake hands with people that you have to wipe your hand off later and de-louse, and you can't stand the stink of it, but you got to pretend like, hey, how you doing, Shake? Really nice to see you, you dirty, you know?
Yeah, and America pisses me off because, you know, we're always trying to be the nice guy. And look at Saddam Hussein there. You know, we let him off because we didn't assassinate him or nothing. And now
he may have his fingerprints on this job because
that's
if he does,
you know,
now's the time. You know,
like,
now's the time.
What goes around comes around.
You got it. All right, Melissa, thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
Good to talk to you. Bye-bye. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, I'm sorry. You know, look, and it'll create jobs here. Look, we got 100,000 people going to be out of work. It's a horrible thing. It's a bad thing. We've had recessions before. We've had high unemployment rate before. We fought World War II coming out of a depression, the worst possible recession that the country's ever been through. It lasted almost 10 bloody years. So this is something we've been through before. Now, there's going to be a lot of people out of work. The layoffs don't start until next year. Let's keep that in mind as well. I also heard a representative from Boeing say today, look, we're going to try to find jobs for those people. We're going to try to hold on to as many people as we can. And the news was received badly on Wall Street. It went down over 400 points, but then it rebounded and finished, I think, down about 140 points, which was seen as a positive. And there are little positives in this overwhelming tidal wave of bad news. But just getting back to this issue of oil, what can we just get out of there? Anybody voting, man, I got my hand raised. I want out of there. I don't care who it is, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Lebanon, anybody that's our friend today could be our enemy tomorrow, anybody that was our enemy yesterday and all of a sudden we're cozying up to them today, cozying up to the likes of Pakistan, cozying up and kissing up to the likes of Assad in Syria, kissing butt on some medieval monarchy in Saudi Arabia and Kuwait. Pretending like we care about their, quote, freedom. Those people aren't free. Those are monarchies, medieval monarchies. They got nothing to do with who we are as Americans. But we have to pretend like we really dig them because we need that freaking oil. And we build the cars bigger and badder every year. And I, for one, am going to take my wife's SUV and I'm going to roll it off a cliff just as soon as I, the lease is up. Now, anyway... You know, I remember the 70s, man, when he had the gas crunch, everybody went to little cars. When did it all of a sudden happen that we started driving these big hogs again? All of a sudden, I looked out on the street and there were these big gas hogs rolling down the street. Cadillacs. Now, I know that the fuel efficiency on these is much better, but the fact of the matter remains. I would rather drill oil. You know, I guess I'm becoming a Republican. I don't know what the hell's wrong with me. Not always, not 100%. I would rather drill oil in a national park, put American roughnecks to work, put American oil workers to work, pump our own freaking oil out of our own bloody ground, stick our own oil into our own refineries, make it into our own gasoline, and the next time somebody says, there's a problem in the Middle East, we go, oh, really? Isn't that too bad? We're going fishing. And the only guys down there that we ought to give any crap about are the Israelis, and we ought to just park a big aircraft carrier right off the coast of Israel, and that's all we need down there. Well, I don't know. Saddam Hussein says he's going to... Oh, that's too bad. Well, they're going to cut off the oil flow. Really? Well, that's tough. Too bad for them. Sucks to be whoever's buying their juice, because we ain't. What a wonderful world it would be. What a wonderful world it would be. Why can't we start doing... I don't know. I guess we can. I guess we got too many people that are bugged about it. I can dig it, man. I like the trees and the birds and the flowers. I'm loving it. We've got some beautiful land here. Gorgeous park. Parkland. Whatever the hell you call it. Park. You know, you tell you, I haven't been out of the city in so long, it's not even funny. Park stuff. What is it called? Wilderness? Oh, okay, thanks. Craig just told me it's called Wilderness. And we got a lot of the good wilderness here. Let's go up there and pull it down and get the oil out of there. Can't we do something like we could camouflage the oil rigs with trees? Can't you, make them look like a tree that moves? Something. Because I'm tired of having to do business in that part of the world. You got to get your shots. You've got to spray yourself with that decrabbing lotion. Really? I'm being very literal. We have nothing in common with a monarchy, a medieval monarchy that keeps its women down. That is, those people, man, I don't get it, man. I don't get it. There's something going on down there. Maybe it's a reaction to centuries of European influence. I'm sure a lot of it has to do with that. A lot of it has to do, I mean, you really got to be a student of history. A lot of it, you got to go back to when the Crusades were launched against the Arab states way back in the 14th century. They wanted to go down and reclaim the Holy Land. These Crusaders from Europe were the most brutal, bloodletting bastards the world has ever known. Now, along the way, for sport, they would burn villages, beat up the Jews. And you know, let me tell you something. When they got down there, they didn't win all the battles either. And some of the most horrific stories from historical record have to do with the treatment of those European Crusaders who were captured by the Arab by the Arab kings and princes who led them. You talk about a baton death march. I mean, I'm sure a lot of it goes back to then. There was the Moorish invasion of Spain. They finally got driven out of Spain. I'm sure they were angry about that. There's all kinds of stuff. So what do you want to do? We want to sit down and have a conversation about it, or are we just going to act? Are we going to do? We know the historical reasons. We'll get to that after this commercial timeout. But right now, we got to get down to business and solving some of these problems. Okay, if you understood any of that, please send us an email. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
On the Phil Hendry Show, and we're taking phone calls. We continue in our sort of quasi-news talk mode, talking about the terror attack on New York and Washington. And here is Peter on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello, Peter.
Hey, Phil. How you doing?
Hi.
Hey, listen, I just want to say I'm a big fan of the regular show. A lot of us would love to hear what Jay Santos is up to there.
Oh, man, I would love to see what Jay's doing in his substation right now.
You know, a lot of us are thinking about it.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, you know, I got a new respect for you. You're really kicking ass in the change of mode here. You're a lot better than the full-timers.
Oh, well, thanks.
Hey, man.
Thank you.
It's really a pleasure to listen to you. And I hesitated to call. I'm kind of nervous about giving other people ideas, but I did want to mention when you said you thought everybody might be through with the terrorism thing and all the avenues are cut off. It's a fact, actually, that the computer network that goes on in this country and other countries, the universality of Microsoft is a vulnerability.
Well, thanks a lot. You just gave them the idea. Okay, all you terrorists. Peter, just, no.
That's me.
Obviously, man.
No, I'm not the brightest.
Well, you know, there was a bug yesterday, was it, that Ashcroft warned businesses about? He said it was unrelated to terrorism. But there's no doubt that they could come up with some super virus, I suppose.
Well, you know, the bummer, Phil, is that 98% of the world runs Microsoft software. And if you figure out what plays in Peoria, it plays in Saudi Arabia, and it plays in New York's air control towers, and it plays everywhere.
Yeah.
You know,
there have been so many people creating so many kinds of viruses. And I've been hearing, seriously, not that I don't appreciate you saying it, Peter, but I have been hearing this for a few years. Some kind of a super virus could shut down the major computer infrastructure of the United States or Western Europe.
I don't even think it's on such a grand scale, Phil. I think it's just the fact that everybody runs the same stuff.
Yeah.
Right down to power plants and airlines and governments, for God's sakes, and transportation networks and, you know, water processing plants.
I think it's possible. All I'm trying to say is I'm really reluctant to attribute a proficiency to these people higher than what I've seen. All I'm saying is what I've seen. And what I've seen is an audacious, brutal nature utilizing extremely low-tech means.
I agree. You said before, low-tech, high-concept.
High concept meaning, you know, audacious, brutal, maniacal. But the technique is low tech and
absolutely
so that's
I've never seen a keyboard in Arabic, Phil. I have no idea how the hell you type in Arabic on a keyboard.
Well, what are you talking about? Arabic. Oh, I see what you're saying. Anyway, 1-800-4. Thank you very much, Peter, for that little zinger. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Anyway, Arlie Ermey, the guy in Full Metal Jacket, now you know who he is, and we've talked about him on the show, and I've talked to him, and I'm very happy to know and proud to know that he's a fan of the show, and he called our show, I guess, a couple of years ago, and as I told Dale Dye earlier in the program, I couldn't keep Lee on the air for that long because every other word was F and S and this and that, but he seems like a nice man. He's a very good actor, too. He has a website, arlieermey.com, and it's got a picture of the USMC flag. It has a picture of the American flag, and there he is with his little Smokey the Bear drill instructor hat with his mouth open like he's screaming at some grunt in Full Metal Jacket. And there's some of the greatest, if you've never seen Full Metal Jacket, it's not a very good movie, except for the parts that Lee's in. And some of the greatest, funniest crap you ever heard in your life is in that first half of the movie. His website, anyway, when you check it out, he has a message there. We are very shocked at the events of September 11, 2001, as terrorists have struck the U.S. All of us at arlieermey.com send our prayers and thoughts to the families and survivors of September 11th's attack on the United States. We urge all Americans to not travel abroad. Now listen to this, Mike. We can eliminate all terrorists in the world if the bleeding freaking heart tree huggers had been the victims, then they wouldn't tell us how wrong it is to kill those who kill. Well, if the kids got more disciplined, then maybe they wouldn't be shooting up our neighborhoods and would be fighting for our country. So he starts off nice and sober and then he just goes nuts at the end there. Then he has a photograph of, not that I agree with any of those sentiments, but I think they're very in a very entertaining fashion delivered. Then he has a photograph, it's kind of an interesting photograph, of the Marine flag still standing there in the Pentagon. There's a photograph, I guess, it's the Marine headquarters in the Pentagon, and the Marine flag is still there, and it says, they tried but failed. The Marines are still standing high. You can see the USMC flag in the picture of the Pentagon attack. Read the story of the colors going home. Click here. Hold them high at 8th and I. Semper Fi. Now, what's 8th and I? Is that the street that Pentagon's on? Hold them high at 8th and I. Semper Fi, Lee Ermey, and staff. He's an entertaining guy, and he's a Marine. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Let's move over here to Greg. Hi, Greg. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Good. By the way, you should have two shows, one your normal show and one the straight show, because you're spectacular at both.
Thanks. You know, I it's kind of cathartic doing this kind of radio for a while, but you can get burned on it a little bit, too.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Anyhow, you know, I was just conceptualizing. I'm terrorized by this whole thing, and, you know, very sad for everybody.
Yeah.
But, like, how to prevent hijackers from taking control of the planes, and I came up with one technological and one that's, like, a little bit more Rambo.
Mm-hmm.
But the technological, it'd probably be expensive, but there must be a way that they could wire planes that the pilot could just hit, like, an emergency button that would just disable all the controls in the plane, and it could only be flown by remote control from the ground.
Wow, that's ambitious. Like, in other words, a remote control plane.
Exactly.
And you can land it by way of computer?
Now for, like, you know, test experiments. They did this, like, you know, solar plane that they were trying to fly around the world, or, you know, the highest, not around the world, but to get the highest altitude, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They were flying it by electronics.
There were drone planes in the Gulf War.
Exactly.
I don't know how big they were, though.
But, I mean, I think the technology's there.
Now, that would drive a terrorist ape that he couldn't fly the plane. And you're really worried about turning flight attendants and pilots into some kind of a police force, too. You know, we were talking earlier about why couldn't the flight attendant come up and hit the guy with a morphine or a tranquilizer? Why couldn't the pilot release some kind of a gas into the main cabin and knock everybody out? Yeah, that's pretty whack, too, you know.
You know, if you knock everybody out, you still got to fly the plane.
I think the idea that, again, using Israel as the example that seems to work, that works in Israel, is the air marshal concept. Having a person on board who's armed, and that in and of itself is a kind of a deterrent. But then your second idea was what?
Well, as I said, this is more Rambo, but so it's a little bit facetious. But, like, in essence, like the gas mask dropping down if there's a hijack. Guns should drop down to everybody.
That'd be cool. Just some joker hits the wrong button on a regular flight. Hey, look, a gun!
Yeah, but they still got to figure out who to shoot at. But, you know,
yeah, not only that, but again, you have a bullet going through the cabin wall. But at that point, who gives a crap? Everybody would have a gun. It would be a lot of fun.
You know, it might be a scary flight, but you could survive that.
You mean the depressurizing of the cabin?
Exactly.
Getting sucked out the window and all that?
I think that's from Goldfinger. You know, I don't think that really happens.
The OSS had a little thing called a Liberator pistol, a little tiny pistol that you could put into the top pocket of your shirt. And maybe those babies could be handed out along with the peanuts. I'm just joking. No, that's pretty good. And I understand what you mean about feeling terrorized, because there's a poll that says that Americans are united but very depressed. And thanks for your call, Greg. Terrorist attacks have united the country in its backing for a strong military response, but have left many Americans depressed, distracted, and sleepless. 7 in 10 said they have felt depressed since the terrorist attacks September 11th. Nearly half report having trouble concentrating, and a third said they have had trouble sleeping. And I think that's very understandable and probably predictable. And then I think that the next thing that kicks in is you get kind of hardcore, and you start to kind of laugh at it. You know what I'm saying? When you live with tension and you live with anxiety for such a long time, you finally just, you just sort of steel yourself and you start, that's when the gallows humor comes in. That's when you start surviving using humor. Right now, we're so afraid to drop the wrong joke, to say the wrong thing, to do any shtick, but in a very short time, we're going to need every bit of it, because it's a survival tool. And the sooner the better for me, because I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to read Mike's writing on some of the stuff he's sending me. Anyway, I'm just kidding, Mike, although you're highlighting stuff I don't get. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Hold on, Debbie. I'll get to you in a second there, kid. Here's Johnny. Is it Johnny? Yeah, Johnny. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
How you doing, Phil?
Fine, Johnny.
First off, I want to say good evening to you.
Good evening.
And I want to say that, no offense to Mr. Stern, but you have the best show on the radio right now, man.
Well, wow, you're very nice. Thanks.
You're the king of the airwaves.
Well.
I'll tell you what, man. I'm a 20-year-old security guard, and all I do is listen to the Phil and the Refill, man.
That's it, brother.
It's awesome. And I'll tell you what, dude. I just want to ask you two questions. First off, I was listening to on the radio that USS was unable to go into Afghanistan without, you know, actually determining that Bin Laden did do the wrongdoings that everyone is, you know, accusing him of.
Right.
And another one is, what's your take on the whole Notre Dame thing? I know it's a little, you know, changing your show a little around.
No, that's cool. That's cool. I mean, Craig was laying all this stuff on me earlier. You know, he's got a friend who's on some Revelations website, and he's clicking on all these things about, you know, the eagle will come from the east and crap on you on Thursday and all that stuff. Here's the thing about Notre Dame, seriously. First of all, what was his language? What language did he write in? Do you know?
Actually, as far as I can, I know, he written a couple of languages in which there were really what he spoke was translated.
And right. Was it French or Latin?
Right. That's what I was wondering if you would know, really.
I think we could probably determine that it was probably Latin. Now, that means that someone has to interpret or translate, I should say. And the art of translation is a very interesting thing because, you know, it is so important and so pivotal that when someone writes a book in any language, whoever does the translation gets a major credit on the book's sleeve, because the translation, especially when you're dealing with poets, when you're dealing with the great writers, the translation is everything. And, you know, there's a lot of people who could translate Nostradamus in such a way as to, wait a second, he said the eagle flies from the east and flies into one of the towers. That means a plane from the east went into the World Trade Towers. He predicted it! Ah! You know, I mean, come on. How'd you like that scream, by the way? I thought it was very feminine, yeah. But I believe that's my take, first off, on the Nostradamus thing. Who's doing the translation on this guy? What's he smoking? Where's he from?
Yeah,
Arabia?
Yeah, in the back of the movie, it said that he was using hallucinogens in order to see his views. I just thought it was some guy just trashed, kicking back, and, you know, just letting some crap come out of his mouth.
Nostradamus?
Yes, sir.
That's exactly who it was. Some cat trashed, kicking back, and letting crap come out of his mouth. I'm terribly, you know... You know, the history of the world has been replete with very unusual characters. Nostradamus is one. Rasputin, the mad monk, there's another kind of interesting guy. People with sort of hypnotic powers, people with possibly prognosticative abilities. Thanks, Johnny, for the call. Nostradamus has been quoted as predicting earthquakes. As a matter of fact, back around 1987, I was working at a radio station locally in Los Angeles. I was doing a radio show, and... everybody said, well, Nostradamus has got this baby lined up. I said, what are you talking about? Well, the planets are lining up. Nostradamus said that when the planets lined up, all hell would break loose. I said, oh, he did, yeah. And to the point that one of our jocks took the day off for fear that the whole town would fall into the ocean, right? I said, I refuse. I absolutely refuse. She took the day off. I think she left town. And they let her. And I, at that point, I said, you know what? I refuse to believe any of this, and I will not. And if you know, if I get killed in the earthquake, then more power to Nostradamus. Then the armies of the world were supposed to meet in the Middle East. And this and that. And at the 1999, it was supposed to come down. Well, then they revised it. Maybe they didn't predict it properly. Maybe it was some other year. Oh, wait a second. I know what it is now. It's 2001. And maybe it isn't exactly Jerusalem. They're meeting in Afghanistan. And the Gulf War was supposed to be the beginning of the end. And the Six-Day War was supposed to be the beginning of the end. And Yom Kippur was supposed to be what, the Yom Kippur War was supposed to be what Nostradamus predicted. Adolf Hitler, he was supposed to be the guy that was going to be the end of the world, and he was the Antichrist. And because somebody said that Nostradamus predicted it because he came up with the name Hitter or something, H-I-T-T-E-R, he might have been talking about Joe DiMaggio. Anyway, 1-800-449, I think it's a lot of, balderdash. I think it's a load of old crap, personally. Not saying that Nostradamus wasn't a profound guy. What I am saying, somebody's not interpreting or otherwise reading this man properly. Now, my fine-feathered friend and close personal buddy Craig Taylor tells me that in Revelations there is a reference to an eagle coming from the east and flying into the tower. Is that correct? The bird of prey flies from the east into the two towers of Babylon. You say that's in the Bible. I'm going to go find it. And when we come back, there may be one dead engineer. No, I'm going to look at it and see what's up. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, I'm on all kinds of Google web search, search engines. I'm looking at Isaiah. I'm looking at Revelations. I'm looking at Tower of Babylon. I'm looking at Birds of Prey, and there ain't nothing in it. Just used the Spanish for, I used the Spanish bad word, but so I had to dump myself. Let me start all over again. Taylor tells me that in Isaiah or Revelations is something about the birds of prey traveling from the east and flying into the Twin Towers. Sure, it didn't say the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center? The Two Towers of Babylon. I've been looking at Isaiah. I've been looking on web searches for Babylon and Revelations and Revlon. I've been everywhere, man. I don't see nothing in here. 1-800-449-8686. I bet you half the crap people say Nostradamus said, he didn't, like some guy's just making it all up. Like half the stuff he wrote was written by a Girl Scout somewhere in Michigan. All right, here is Debbie on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi, Debbie.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good, thanks. Hey, listen, I know this kind of got talked about a few minutes ago, but I just want to say, you know what, I really agree with you about the U.S. getting out of the Middle East, finding some way to get the oil. You would think that, and you know, this has been used a lot, but if they can put a man on the moon, you would think that they would be able to get the oil without destroying all the wilderness and still be able to live here peacefully and not have to deal with them.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I'm learning is, maybe it's because I'm getting older, I'm understanding the media better, the hyperbole and the sky is falling scenarios that come out, it's never as bad as people say it's going to be. And this whole thing about how we're going to rip up and shred the entire wilderness because we're going for oil, that's probably, you know, I'm sorry, I don't buy it. I'm not buying all of that. Aren't you tired? What kind of car do you drive, if you don't mind me asking, Debbie?
Not at all. I drive a Toyota Camry.
Oh. I thought maybe you had like 10 kids and you were driving some, you know, bus or an armored personnel carrier or something, you know.
No. No.
Are you don't have kids? Well, see, we have a family, four kids, and we have the big, you know, heavy duty. You can run into it with a Mack truck and nothing will happen to you, only the Mack truck SUV. And I'm putting $50 every time I fill that tank up, it's $50. And it's all that it's all that juice out of the Middle East. You did get rid of yours. What kind did you have?
We did. We had a Chevy Blazer. And, I mean, it's not probably half as bad as some of the bigger ones.
We got to do it. We have to do it. We must do it. I'm so tired. And I'm just so tired of sitting here and waiting for some sheikh to make up his mind about something. Some guy who is, about 14 cents removed from being some inquisitor from the Middle Ages, telling us that he's got to sit down and think about what he's going to do. And he'll get back to us on this whole bin Laden thing.
Right.
And they'll get back to us on this. They'll get back to us on that. And you know what? Today we think we're going to tighten the supply a little bit. So the price goes up and the price goes down. And what do we got to do for that oil? We have to pretend like we have something in common with all of these medieval theocracies down there, with their dictators and their kings and their princes and their sheikhs and their malts and their fries.
And the sad thing is, we have absolutely nothing in common with them.
We got nothing in common. The people, God bless the people down there. Who knows about the people down there? We know nothing about them. All we get is what their government feeds us. And half the time, it's a bunch of guys pumping their fists in the air saying, God is great and America sucks. God is great. Well, who are the real people of the Middle East? I don't know them.
And neither do I.
And I'd like to get to know them on some footing where I don't have to supplicate myself and beg for oil.
Or plead for them, you know, don't bomb us anymore, or, you know, them having to say, hey, you know, don't come and destroy us. We're not these radical, we don't believe in these radical things that these other people are saying.
It's a disgrace. It's an absolute disgrace. And the people that are living in starvation and poverty in Afghanistan, and the people that are having to deal with the UN sanctions in Iraq. And look, man, I feel bad because the scum-sucking dog Hussein and this Taliban group, boy, what a bunch of sweethearts they were. I don't know if you listen to the show, Debbie, but they got a real problem with women. A real problem with women.
Yes. I do listen to your show a lot, and I have seen, I've seen a lot of documentaries that they do on them.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're absolutely horrendous to them. They have no respect for anybody that is not male and is not on their same level.
Yeah, and doesn't wear a beard and doesn't smell like they've been sleeping in their clothes for 6 days. I just had to get that little shot in. I'm sure they take showers. Well, on second thought, maybe not. But, I mean, you know what we're saying, Debbie? We're saying the ultimate solution. You and I have come up, we've got the ultimate solution, and we're not the only ones to think of it. The ultimate solution to this, let's get the hell out of that part of the world. Don't let the screen door hit our rear end on the way out. Goodbye, good riddance, adios, we're a freaking ghost. Have fun.
Exactly.
Have a good life, man, because, you know, we're tired of you.
And you know what? Maybe it's time that we close up our borders. Maybe it's time that we stop letting some of these people in.
No, we can't because we need oil.
Well, yeah, right.
I got to go on vacation next week, so could you cool that talk, please?
Oh,
look, Debbie,
okay.
Thank you for your call. I'm glad you held
thank
on,
you.
Too. Thanks very much. I mean, I still got to put gas in my car, okay? Until such time as we drill the oil, let's be friends. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.